3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon, brought to you by Revelation Radio Network. Welcome. We're here every Monday night from 9 to 11. You can access us, pass the word, Blog Talk Radio. And you can also access from our own site as well, both. The sound is depends on where you want to listen. You have chat on the Revelation Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio, you plug in So you plug in Watchman for Jesus and Blog Talk Radio, and it brings you up to a chat they have there on their site. Well, welcome, family. This evening, I want to talk a little bit about end times events, but from another perspective, a laid-back kind of perspective, to give you all some background on some things that David Wilkerson has said, what some of these theologians are going to do when this thing hits, when this thing is what thing, this disclosure, that they're going to sneak on everybody. That people are not talking about. So few people, if any, are really talking about disclosure. It's been planned since 1897. Setting up predictive programming of disclosure that we've been watched and guided by aliens. Then you got the David Icke, who's a New Ager, and Jordan Maxwell, his mentor. Infusing the idea of reptilians. So you have the Geico guy, the little insurance guy. You know, that was clever, wasn't it? It's kind of like back in the day when you had Fred Flintstone and Wilma and Barney and whatever else and Fred Flintstone. You know, you think it's innocuous of some kind, but the George Jetson and the cartoons of Flintstones, what have you. Family, what that really does subconsciously is infuse the idea of evolution. And you don't even know it. And you're entertained by it. The idea of George Jetson and cartoons, for example, among others, of course. You had Lost in Space. You had, you know, HAL and just tons of them. But cartoons are innocuous, and so you're like, ah, this is funny. But what it's doing is teaching you what the future may hold for you. You know, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast here in a minute, but listen to this. Well, of course, if you're listening to my broadcast, you would, wouldn't you? Literally, if you know their the way they put truth in their cartoons, in the movies, TVs, novels, fictional stories, and so forth, how they present the truth in these kind of media, it's what they do. And you know then that the news is pretty much opposite. It's not the truth. There is no ISIS. There's no Al-Qaeda. And this is by their own admittance. When you start putting things together, I've got recordings of Hillary Clinton admitting that they funded in two different interviews. I got Bill Clinton admitting that he attended a Bilderberg meeting, and Hillary in another separate, like several years later, it denies it. I found these and I put them together into a kind of a program. Then you got this CIA author that says Al-Qaeda and ISIS never existed. But he gives another reason why they are around, not the true reason of about the Jesuits and the Gillian dialectic, etc., creating a fake World War III that's yet to come. They don't talk about that or the bringing in of the New World Order through the disclosure and a fake Jesus, all that stuff. This is all combined together. Nothing is not connected. There's nothing disconnected. It's all connected together. So they don't connect the dots. They get you all looking at the trees. Well, not all of you, but they got a majority of those outside of this, of those that's aware, looking at the trees, not the forest. So my point is, you get more truth out of the cartoons and the TV programs and fictional movies than you do in actual news. Literally, because they'll hide it in fictional association. And they put it in front of your face, but it's associated with fictional stories, science fiction and so forth, drama, adventure, etc. But actually true. So they show it to you, the average person, not realizing that this is the truth in these spy stories and heroes and all that, but it's in fictional form. And the proof of that is Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Shrugged is a very large novel written by Ayn Rand, a humanist, mistress of Philip Rothschild, who wrote the playbook, wrote the textbook of the New World Order in fictional form, called Atlas Shrugged, 1957. She was a mistress of Philip Rothschild. He directed it, so to speak. And she is popular in her day. Matter of fact, Ron Paul follows her teachings. That's one evil woman, to say the least. Atheist. Anti-God, big time. And wrote the playbook for the Illuminati in fictional form, called Atlas Shrugged. That's how they do it. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then what I want to talk tonight about is how the theologians are going to, actually it goes hand in hand with what I've been talking about in my broadcast Friday and today, about how the communist infiltration of American churches occurred, going back as far back as 1887 till to date, and the steps they took. And the, like, 40 or more objectives that they maintained. Iron Mountain Report is just a small part of it. But they really formed up the control in 1908 with the Federal Council of Churches, later to be named the National Council of Churches, how they control education, religion, and education for a long-range plan. Well, it leads you up to trusting the religious institutions and the so-called preachers, rabbis and priests, and they will be the ones to mislead the world by design. I don't have to mention about the political leaders, that's a given. But actually, talking tonight about how the churches have been infiltrated, but from another perspective tonight than I did earlier today. Speaking in terms of how they're going to convince the world that this disclosure, that there's aliens existed to cause the falling away. They're having it with a lie, saying that all the events of the revelation have occurred. That's, unless you're completely uneducated in the tribulation, you'll immediately recognize that as a complete lie and fabrication. But 90% of the population will believe it because they trust their religious leaders. That includes Hagee, Billy Graham, especially Billy Graham and Hagee. John MacArthur says that it's okay to take the mark of the beast. I've got testimony from him with his own words. I mean, they're coming right out with it. Hey, don't worry about it. It's okay to take the mark of the beast. Name it. That you'll be saved anyway. I mean, it's almost surreal how they're just coming right on out with it. It's amazing. See it all transpire. They've never done this before. Never did this ever. That's why I say we're probably very close to the first seal. Dedicate the broadcast, and let's see where it takes us. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, that died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we ask you, we pray, Father, that you touch our hearts tonight, open up our minds and our spirits, Lord, that we can talk tonight, share the gospel, that, Lord, we can share wisdom, discernment, pass it on to others. Give us those opportunities that, Father, we can teach and learn and share the truth about these end times events as they approach. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our families. We pray for those in need of healing. Lord, we call about this before and many times. We pray for those lost to be found. We pray for those in pain and those that are sick to be healed. We pray, Father, for families divided and separated to be brought back together again. Lord, we pray for our veterans. We pray, Lord, for the citizens, the non-veterans that are being targeted for the suicides that's being orchestrated. That, Lord, that at some point, Lord, that you tear down this technology that's causing this. And reveal to us the end times deception and how to see through it. And Father, give us the opportunity to go up against it and to expose it for what it really is. And Father, we thank you for your blessings and miracles that sometimes we may overlook. That Father, you guide us to those sins that we have left unacknowledged. That Father, you bring them to our mind that we can acknowledge those sins. We pray tonight for an awakening of the watchmen to come to the top, to start speaking out in the churches, in the government, and Father, in the public. And Father, it's your time that you raise them up, that they can speak the truth. And all these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Family, I appreciate y'all dropping by tonight on this Monday night following the weekend to hear me ranting and raving again. I found some things today, even this afternoon after I'd finished my other broadcast, as a matter of fact, some things I want to bring up. They had recently on the, how the stories go viral and so forth. They have one particular article, actually picture, of a blood-stained T-shirt of Kent State May 4th shootings. It's kind of a a fad shirt of sort. It's designed as a souvenir shirt, T-shirt. And the title of the article and the what they're doing with it is updated with video. Is Tasteless Bloodstained T-Shirt of Kent State May the 4th Shootings Ignites Outrage. So, they're taking this commemorative, no less, T-shirt of Kent State shooting back in the 60s. And it's supposedly the same exact style, the same exact T-shirt of that girl that was shot in the test of whether or not American troops were firing American soldiers, American citizens. The Kent State community was talking about a clothing retailer, a sweatshirt that says, they say, poked fun at the May 4th, 1970 shootings. And BuzzFeed reported the sweatshirt was being sold online by Urban Outfitters for $129. And so the pink sweatshirt with a white Kent State emblem appears in this commemorative manner, is worn, dirty, and stained with blood, was advertised as a vintage. The Kent State community condemned the retailer and the item on Monday. And the Kent State family, the quote is, May the 4th, 1970 was a watershed moment for the country and especially the Kent State family. We lost 4 students that day, while 9 others were 9, by the way, were wounded and countless others were changed forever. And this came from the University Media Relations Director, Emily Vinson. Quote, we take great offense to a company using our pain for their publicity and profit. The item is beyond poor taste and trivializes a loss of life that still hurts the Kent State community even today. Now, I also find it very interesting that there's another quote, by the way. Some of you all that know about numerology and so forth will find this also interesting. I think it's very cruel marketing ploy, which is quite insulting to the families of the 13 victims shot at Kent State, quoted Alan Canfora. Canfora was shot through the right wrist on May the 4th, quote, in 1970, real bloodshed stained students' clothing, and obviously Urban Outfitters just doesn't understand. They only offered one for sale, so it was obviously an attempt to generate massive free publicity, and that's just sickening. Okay, you got the idea. It goes on and talks about it and so forth. Well, let me tell you what this is about. It's being played out the way they want to. Well, that's pretty obvious. Where are we right now? We're at a point of where Reverend or Pastor Rick Joyner is saying they're pushing for a military coup of the U.S. government. He prays for one. He's still around. He's a Knight of Malta. He can say anything he wants to and get away with it. Knight of Malta is higher than the United States American president. Literally, they have more power than the President of the United States. The President of the United States is nothing. He does what he's told to do by the Vatican, the Jesuits, the Illuminati. All his speeches are prescripted like a reality show. Everything he does is prescripted. He does not think on his own. Now, so they all of a sudden, during this time of, we live in a tyrannical government, look at, you know, they'll side out the Bundy Ranch, which are their Illuminati. That's another play act. And then they'll cite the recent shootings of inciting the racial instances. They'll have you acknowledge the worthlessness of governments, not only in the United States, but worldwide. And then all of a sudden, it's not even May. This is September. They come out with this T-shirt thing. What's the deal? It's outrageous how they do this. Okay. So, you know, it hits the news big time, right? They even show the picture of it. Family, what this is doing is not about publicity for a t-shirt or some free publicity. This is to remind you of the tyrannical government we live in. So it'll incite certain folks to see if they will support any kind of military coup. This is the purpose of it. They want you to be outraged. They want you to see it. And some of them today, man, I'm 61 years old, y'all. And in 1970, I was like a junior in high school, y'all. You know, junior, a little runny nose, a little junior football player, whatever. I had to graduate in 1971. This is 1970. And they bring this thing up. So today, it's going to be a matter of a mama. And going, mama going to say, what, honey? And you're going to say, what's Kent State? What happened at Kent State? Where is Kent State? And then mama's going to have to explain it to her little son or daughter or whatever. And those still in college are going to say, Kent State, look it up, computer. Oh, okay, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Look it up. You see, you got everybody looking it up. Everybody. What's Kent State? I don't know. Now, as baby boomers, you know about Kent State. And maybe 10 years after, you know about Kent State. But after that, man, I don't know what Kent State is. I got a clue. Something I heard about was, I don't know. But they want you to have the full impact of what happened at Kent State with a t-shirt. It's genius. Absolutely genius. Council of Foreign Relations. You know, I bet come up with this idea? Tavistock in London. It's to generate the outcry once again to support any potential military coup or to enhance or to accentuate the fact we live in a tyrannical government and all this other rhetoric they come up with. It's to remind you of this. It's another, in other words, for me, this means that they're desperate. They don't have control. They don't have enough support. They're testing to see just how far along they've moved this generation toward rebellion to support the New World Order and want it. That's what this shirt's all about. It's not just a shirt. There's going to be more situations and all that. This is mankind's pathetic, at the highest level, pathetic effort to try to socially engineer rebellion. That's all it is. Very clever, actually, but it's still pathetic. How these doctors and Joint Chief of Staff and all these people at the highest level had wasted all their life, wasted their education, wasted their experience for an effort that is going to fail miserably. The New World Order will only have its debut for a short period of time. Then it will crash. And the Freemasons, once they have a control of the New World Order, all Freemasons will be assassinated. They will die. Quote, as if by some illness, unquote. Chapter 15, X-ray Victor. Chapter 15, Roman numeral 15 of the protocols learned under the Zion confirms they will kill every Freemason. If they have a family, they will die too. The Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, are working for the very people that's going to kill them. Literally. They're putting them in deep underground military bases when all this thing hits. What they don't know is they're going to seal them off and eliminate most of them down there. They don't know that yet. But it's going to happen. When they release the Nephilim upon those in deep underground military bases, thinking they're safe from all the chaos and the surface of the earth, when the tribulations begin, they're not safe at all. The Nephilim will have lunch. Their only saving grace is to take Jesus as Savior. Become whistleblowers. Help spread the gospel is the only hope they got. It's very serious what I'm telling you. I don't think people are taking some of this stuff serious enough. They'll remember it later, but it may be too late. When's this going to happen? Man, nobody knows. Why worry about it? If you take Jesus as Savior, you don't have to. Even death won't bother you. All that about that t-shirt. Yep, that's the purpose of the t-shirt. It's to regenerate, to check out and see who's going to rise up and who's disgruntled about the current government, et cetera, et cetera. And this goes along with their plan. They're going to launch this new world order when all world governments have been acknowledged as being worthless. When you acknowledge that, when you say, yeah, my government's worthless. Greece says, our government's worthless too. England says, our government's worthless. Then you automatically are going to start saying, well, what's the replacement? If it's worthless, then you got to have a replacement. And they're going to say, oh, we do. It's called the New World Order. And peace too, by the way. And pay off your debt. It's called the First Seal. But first, they got to have a fake World War III that they're going to term erroneously as Armageddon. That many of those that trust their preterist and Calvinist so-called prophets, evangelicals, charismatic, Pentecostal, you name it, said, yes, this is Armageddon, or Gog and Magog. They'll interchange it either way they want to. And the people that trust him will believe it. And then who comes after Armageddon? Well, Jesus does, except this one won't be Jesus. This one will be Sananda Emmanuel, the fallen angel, the one that they're trying to get termed as Yeshua, Yahuwah, or whatever the fake Jesus name is going by this time. That's why they want to get it across the board. Across the board meaning every language to call him Yeshua, because the one called Sananda Emmanuel is coming claiming his name to be Yeshua. You can find it right now. If you link up Yeshua and Sananda Emmanuel. Now, if y'all are having problems with your sound, you can go to my website. It should be there, okay. Or stay there on the Blog Talk. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He feareth is not made perfect in love. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. People I've met recently in the past week, they said, Tom, what are you doing nowadays? It's people I haven't seen in a long time. I'm broadcasting. And they always ask the question, what are you broadcasting? Oh, here we go. So I tell them, oh, aren't you afraid? Doesn't that scare you a little bit? I mean, they could. I said, man, I don't worry about all that. Number one, I don't have enough following that would cause a change of a social change of some kind. I mean, if I could, it'd be great. I'd really love to be afraid, but I'm not going to be afraid no matter what. Because what's the worst case? Death. What's death? Release and going to heaven through Jesus Christ. So what is there to fear? He won't put any more on you can handle. If the pain or the torture or whatever it is too great, he'll just take your soul and say, yeah, that's enough. He takes you out. They lose their torment. They lose their sacrifice. So what's the problem? I don't see one. Well, remember, I also said that they're switching or changing the sexual roles. Well, that's pretty obvious. Don't you notice that all of a sudden it's happening where men are doing women's jobs and women are doing what men used to do? Now, I don't have a problem. I don't care. It's not my business. You know, you can make a woman do whatever she wants, do the fastest woman on the land or play football. They do whatever they want to do. $10 too. They can be a car mechanic, get all greasy. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care, personally. However, I'm telling you what they're up to. because Ruth Bader Ginsburg had submitted a report in 1977 on how to change the roles using certain, like sending women to frontline units in combat. That was accomplished, finally said in 1977, it was accomplished in June 2013. They did it. Leon Panetta, Knights of Malta member, lifted the ban on women to go to frontline units. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. It's surreal, so surreal that they're that stupid or that well planned. And the Joint Chief of Staff, they sit on their hands. Nobody's got the courage to say, now hold on there a minute. Not a one of them. No courage at all. Zero. Because they belong to the enemy, the Council of Foreign Relations. They're Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, secret society members that play golf with each other and go to cookouts, talk about how they're going to take over the world. No, they're going to die by the Illuminati, the very hand of those that's helping them. They're cursing their families. But that's something they have to deal with. So, you had a list. I don't know if I could find the list off the top of my head. I just now mentioned it. I should have had it ready to go, but I made a list one day. Well, I did. There it is. Well, you know. All of a sudden, you got this change on TV. What have you got? Oh, you're going to love this. You got Girls Garage. You got women, and typically what? Back in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, it was the men who got all messy, dirty, knew how to torque this and torque that and fix the car and fix it, this, that, and the other. Right? Well, when you put a woman there, it's like, what's she doing there? And, of course, because of feminism and, well, a woman can do it too. You get that retort coming back. It's what they want. They want that competition. They want to change the role of men and women. That came out of a report of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. To destroy the family, you must destroy the family unit. You must destroy the roles of men and women in the family. As it began in the Garden of Eden. Till now. You'll notice in a lot of Eastern European countries, you find men going to Europe like Russia and other places in Europe to look for wives. Because American women are very, very independent, materialistic. All of them? No. But overall. Whereas in Europe, you have the typical, you know, woman that does woman jobs and men that both do men jobs. But they're very abusive over there, the men are, and especially Russia. So they're like American men or British men, a little bit different. And they like the Russian women or the Eastern European women because they're typical, what you would think of, wife would be, you know, subservient to the male and all this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. Well, they've got America targeted, and they always did, to make the woman independent, away from the family. Glass ceiling, et cetera, et cetera. Light up for freedom, Edward Bernays. So they subjected women in America to being a slave idea. You can't vote, you can't drink, you can't, or in public, you can't smoke in public, you can't do this, do that, you're not going to get as much men money working as men do, et cetera, for a long time. Then the Rockefellers funded the feminist movement to give them freedom. So they took the freedom away on purpose, and they said, well, now we're going to give you full freedom, and then some. So guess what they did? They took it and divided the families. It worked perfectly. This was designed in Tavistock, behavioral think tank. It worked perfectly. It is in testimony that Aaron Russo confirms he was told by the Rockefellers that that's the reason they funded the feminist movement. For that one, and Edward Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud, confirms that they hired and trained certain advocates of the Light Up for Freedom, women to light up for freedom, on purpose. And what did that do? Take them out of the home. Ruth Bader Ginsburg came up with these programs specifically for that reason. No other reason. All coordinated together. And it worked. Lenin said, Lenin was a student of Adam Weishaupt and Illuminati. Lenin, and among others, said, the way to destroy a nation, to break up the family. This is a strategy. That's how it works. By design. I'd say 98% of the women in the feminist movement have no idea what I'm talking about. And boy, let me tell you, if I was in the middle, if I was armed to the teeth, I wouldn't say a word about this in the middle of a feminist movement in a march and me say something like this. Man, they would skin me alive. I wouldn't have a chance. I couldn't run fast enough. But to report it to them would be to try to help them realize they're being used unmercifully by the Illuminati as they tap in what their desires and needs are to use them to destroy the country. It's worked perfectly. It's already done. There's no going backwards. Okay, all this being said, I'd like to lay the groundwork what I'm going to tell you next. For example, now they have the fastest woman on a motorcycle. He has 241 miles per hour with electricity instead of gas. They've got all these things coming out now in public. I'm being told that the website sound on Blog Talk is poor. If you're having trouble with the sound, you might want to go to my website, Watchman for Jesus, if that's the case. Or, actually, stay on Blog Talk if you've got two windows there, if you can do that. And, I don't know, turn the sound down on one. Just get the sound on the top of it so you don't hear me talking. And do another little window, I guess that would work, on my website, two at the same time. Try that. That way you can still use the chat. Would that work? Anyway, so I was going into this. Girls Garage. It's about girls in a garage telling you how to fix your car and all that. So that's a man's job, really, right? Normally, but not anymore. It's Girls Garage. It's on TV. I saw it when I went to a restaurant. Then you got race car drivers now, female. I don't care personally. It don't matter to me one little bit. But what's typically race car drivers back in the 40s, 50s, 60s? Men were. But now they got women. And they got them out front, and they got them doing everything else on commercials and so forth. So Girls Garage, race car drivers, NFL kickers. They got NFL girls in NFL, the National Football League, trying out for NFL. You got women on frontline units. Can you imagine a woman, I don't care if it's Helga, that's a martial artist, go up against a Spetsnaz Russian? You got to be kidding me. And the Joint Chief of Staff say nothing. The Marine Corps ran a test training of put women in combat training heading to the front lines. What they're going to do is put them on artillery positions. That's still frontline units. They can be attacked easily by special forces. Can you imagine? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They're not dumb. So this tells me this is the most evil thing I've ever heard of because they know what they're doing. These people at the Joint Chief of Staff, the secret societies, Council of Foreign Relations, are beyond evil. They've done it. CEOs, preachers, which is against the Bible, mixed martial arts. You have women beating the mess out of each other. Blood. Mixed martial artists. Now they think, well, men can do it, we can do it. They don't understand they're being used. They have no idea they're being used and abused. Blood sports comes under the Iron Mountain Report, 1966. Lyndon B. Johnson said to classify the report. American people were never to see that report. Lewin received it from one of the engineers, social engineers from the Iron Mountain Commission, saw it was necessary to release it secretly. Lewin wrote at a free press, Leonard Lewin, report from Iron Mountain, on how to control people in a time of peace. The best way to control people, as Carnegie found out in 1909, Carnegie Peace Foundation, in a study, the way to control people was by war. When you have no war and you have peacetime, now how do you control them? They come up with all kinds of suggestions. Iron Mountain Report, look at the conclusion, section 7. But my main focus is one of the suggestions was, I quote, blood sports. Now, it took me a little while at one time to really kind of focus on what in the world are they talking about, blood sports. And one day it dawned on me. Blood sports was the wrestling, mixed martial arts, all these things. Nothing more than what were in the gladiators' days. And then you look at the crowds. It controls the people perfectly. They want blood, man. We have a cage fight. The Rambling Bronco versus, you know, whatever. And they beat the dog crap out of each other. They just beat the garbage out of each other. And people are loving it. Matter of fact, there's some deaths that occurs in younger kids, when they say, man, look what I've seen last night on a mixed martial arts or professional wrestling. Let me try that. Okay. And it breaks his cousin's neck. Mixed martial arts. Now you got transgender. Commanding officers. Women in the movies are all heroes. Kicking the butts of like 5 minute one time in movies. It's scripted, of course. It's bringing back the Amazon family. It's reversing the roles of men and women. This is what's going on. I'm not looking into something that's going beyond the realm of possibility. This is a fact. That was the purpose of Manning and his indictment. And then he comes up to be a transgender. All that was planned out. You got Miss America pageant. Now, really, it goes back to what, I forgot what year it was that the first one ever started. Now, what's a Miss America pageant? What's that all about anyway? Really? Is it the real Miss America? No. Is it real Miss World? No. These women are groomed like stud horses for studding. These women are groomed to be beauty contestants at the highest level. And when one wins, or they see it for that week or whatever, how long it takes, is that the real American woman or European whatever? No, it's not. So what about those that see it on TV and say, that's the standard? What does that do to the others, to 90% of or more of other women's self-concept? Really, subconsciously, what does it do? Well, it lowers it, of course. I wish I looked like that. Why? Because they're not real. Does that fit the standard? No. Family, this is the purpose of it. And then, when they have their one that's selected, and then the one after it, see what they do with them? They use them for their carrying their agenda out. Miss Kansas, she had a tattoo. Remember that? Made sure everybody saw it, too. Tattoos are acceptable now. Look, Miss America has it. My sports stars, LeBron and all the others, Braun, whatever, they have their tattoos. The football players got their tattoos. Well, so a digital tattoo with the mark of the beast is not a problem. And that's exactly what they've got. Spider-Man. Oh, Spider-Man. He changed it from the Spider-Man in the old days would drop his wrist and show his wrist up, drop the knuckles of all five fingers. But now the current one, the past 10 years, the new Spider-Man, he don't do that. He does a caputo. He does the Satan's double horns. Helen Keller was a Satanist in Theosophical Society. Helena Blavatsky, she studied. I love you, Satan, is what she gave the hand sign. And that was not by accident. by design. So the Spider-Man now, on the when he does it, when he's on the billboards, is satanic double horn sign. That is not accidental. This is amazing social engineering. This is exactly what's going on today. I saw some of these today, and I thought I just might mention it to show you how detailed this really is. And you know, your progressive evangelicals, you know, the first Miss America pageant was in 1921. Oh, my goodness. Do you know, 1921, here we go, I'll be doggone. I love when you connect dots. Well, thank you. 1921 was when they created the Council of Foreign Relations. 1921, when they created Tavistock. 1921, when J.P. Morgan created a depression, panicked the nation, and then came in to save the day, because in 1921, he flooded the market with money to raise the stock market, as it always controlled anyway, to start the placating of the American public and making money from 1921 to 1928. 7 years. 7 years. And 1928 was the orchestrated Great Depression, when they placated the American public from 1921 to 1928. You had the Miss America pageant. You had the Happy Days Are Here Again thing going on. You had organized crime. Boy, oh boy. Boy, we sitting happy on that one. Fat and happy. And then they lower the boom. And Miss America pageant was there to placate as well. And they'd use her for the whole time. So do it for oh, man. Hook, line, and sinker, we took it. 1921. Well, what a year. Pulls out of the Great Depression. Happy Days Are Here Again. The Clapper Girls. Organized crime on a rampage. People making money. Sound familiar? Kind of a falling away going on there till 1927. They planned the Great Depression. 1928, we funded Hitler. 1929, there it goes, the Depression. It's 8 years. Yeah, 8 years. And deny the veterans their bonuses. That really ticked them off. And then in 1931, 32, 33, they're planning a military takeover of the U.S. government. They funded Smedley D. Butler with $60,000 in cash. The CEOs of corporations, particular ones, four of them, were spokesmen for the corporate world to lead a revolt against FDR. By 1933-34. And after they treated the World War I veterans badly by denying them bonuses, running them out of Washington, D.C. in the bonus army, destroyed their homes there, they had a cadre of 500,000 men that was ready to go up against the U.S. government, being led by a well-disciplined and tough Marine named Smedley Butler, three Medal of Honor winners. He turned one down, so it's not on record. But he has a problem here. 1933, I believe, 32, 33, he blew the whistle of this military coup. They didn't get it. I've got confirmation with FDR in a statement he made behind closed doors from his Senator Lundeen's records that FDR had planned a military coup of the U.S. government. So they needed Butler to take the money to form up the 500,000 war on veterans that were wanted their bonuses and were attacked by their own military. ran out of the D.C. by bayonet, so they were ready to prime, ready to go. They had a trusted commander, Butler, to take the money and conduct a military coup. The plan was to catch him in the act and the ones involved and declare a military coup, a military dictatorship as a result of that. But it never happened. That's what FDR was going to do. He's going to pretend like he's the victim, the target. And as someone says on the chat, then came the Dirty 30s. Sneaky, aren't they? Connecting the dots on a conspiracy that the dots are there to be connected. That's what they planned. Now, nothing new under the sun. Your militia is going up against the border patrol, a border guard, border police, feds. You've got the police going up against the militia. Wait a minute. Are we all Americans here? And nobody's getting it. Nobody's understanding. These guys aren't understanding it. So now you come up with this T-shirt, and you remember Kent State? Yeah, we remember Kent State. When was Kent State? Oh, that was my father did that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we remember Kent State. You see, you know about it now, don't you? Yeah. See, we told you, it's always been a tyrannical government. We need to change over. Family, 1933 all over again. They're going to do it to you again. Hook, line, and sinker. If y'all just stop fighting each other and realize who the enemy is and just not cooperate with them, just might last a little longer. But actually, I don't pray for return of the United States. I pray for return of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, sirree, Bob. I remember. Just dawned on me. I'm going to talk more about this later. Now's a good time, I guess. For a little practice, since I only do this once a week on the Revelation Radio Network. Let's see if I can... Let's see what we got here. Well, what they're doing is trying to establish a patriotic fervor. And they have used, since 1776, and I have this documented, this is not speculation, patriotism as a weapon, as an idol. And they're using this patriot movement, which I'll speak more about later this week, but they're using patriotism as a major weapon. And the patriots don't even know this. They don't understand how they're being used. Let me preempt it like this, with evidence, with the concept. It's been done before. It's being done again. Quote, "Beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizens into a patriotic fervor. For patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood, just as it narrows the mind. And when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch, and the blood boils with hate, and the mind has closed, the leader will have no need in seizing the rights of the citizen. Rather, the citizens, infused with fear and blinded by patriotism, will offer up all their rights unto the leader, and gladly so. How do I know? For this is what I have done, and I am Caesar." See, there's nothing new under the sun, because the same hierarchy that orchestrated and used Caesar are the same ones doing it now. The New World Order, the social engineers, the families, the descendants, but the supernatural realm is just doing it again. Now, this is called the synagogue of Satan. It's been using the secret societies as a pseudo patriots, pulling in the real patriots, but specifically trying to influence the born-again Christian patriots. We've been taught this all along, allegiance to the flag and 4th of July and all this stuff. We never won a war in the first place. We never won. The United States is a corporation. So what they're trying to do now is take away your sovereignty. And kind of what I'm saying now in a way, but I'm giving you more detail on it. Actually, once they got us patriotic, they used the families to build that patriotism. And now to take down the country, it started in 1945. They have to get rid of the family and destroy patriotism to divide the separatists to make a military takeover and a UN administration easier to handle. They need to do that now. And this is what they're doing. This is how they're tricking us. And give an example, I'll just give it word for word. In fact, Brock Chisholm, who was director of the United Nations World Health Organization, deeply steeped involved in the takedown of America in 1945, using Tavistock's plans. Brock Chisholm, director of the United Nations World Health Organization, in 1948 to 1953, said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men their individualism now, loyalty to family traditions, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. That's a really good statement to summarize their objectives. So what they're doing is they're coming up now again with a patriot movement, using liberty as the call to galvanize. And what they want to do is extend their control by pleading to the born-again Christian patriots to pray that God will hold back his judgment and save America. That sounds good, don't it? Well, here's the rub to it. Who's in control? They are. Who's doing the children's sacrifices? They are. Who's murdering and assassinating good people? They are. Who's in control of the government? They are. Who's controlling the education? They are. Who's controlling seven areas I've been talking about in this world? They are. So they want Christians to be fooled and to pray for continuation so we work for them. Oh, they don't want you to know that. What did Abraham do? He prayed to God that would spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, if you find me one righteous man, I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah. They couldn't find even one righteous. God destroyed it. What did Rick Joyner, Knights of Malta, say in his broadcast? He was praying that God would not destroy America. Jerry Boykin and Rick Joyner and all the others at Knights of Malta are evil to the core. They work for Lucifer. You're darn right they don't want us taken out, because that means Jesus Christ would hold back if you have one righteous or two righteous born again praying against bringing back America. If you want to bring back, you want peace, you have to get rid of all the secret society members in the government today. They want to pray, get one righteous man to pray, and maybe extend the control that they, secret societies, have presently. They want the righteous to pray so they can continue their witchcraft in America, Europe, and the rest of the world. The more the witchcraft of Freemasons and Jesuits increase their influence, the sooner they will be less and less righteous. So the more influence they have, the less righteous they'll become, which just automatically leads them to their own destruction. So for them, they're the losers no matter what happens. They want more control, right? Well, the more control they get, the less righteous you're going to have anyway. And Jesus Christ is getting closer and closer to coming. So they're between a rock and a hard place. You're not. If you've taken Jesus as your Savior, you're okay. But they're not. So even prayers won't save them. The more they deny the Holy Spirit, the more they'll be endowed with a reprobate mind. And then the tribulation will start and their end will be in God's hands. And you know what that's going to happen then. They want to provoke God to act so they can have their new world order. They feel that they have achieved the technology to defeat God. Do you hear what I'm telling you? They think now they can defeat God with their technology and knowledge. And even at his own game. By controlling the weather with harp. By electromagnetic energy that they can control. The meteorites that they can control. They have no idea. This they think will bring their king despot of the universe. Since a major objective was achieved by forming their diverse race, this integrated culture. And this reported October issue of 2013 in National Geographic, they have accomplished what they set out to do since year 1425. It's done. Making the United States a diverse nation, integrating all the cultures into one culture, has been accomplished. The tribe of Dan, 13th tribe, they're praying the wicked will be removed. They have errant prophetic understanding of the Bible. They're praying for return of the nation. For what? I pray for Jesus Christ to get here. To continue the nation, we're missing 700,000. Between 500 and 700,000 children a year just disappear off the face of this planet. We're not doing so well. You're darn right they want control. They want to extend. They want to remain in control. I'm going to cover more about that this week. How they're using the Patriots to further their evil cause. Some heavy stuff I've just told y'all. I'll tell you what. But you can see the change. We're at the precipice of a big change coming. And these articles, the ones I pull out of, you know, I get sent or I find them and pull them out, it marries up with their agenda. And that's how I sort of get an idea myself. More than one can play that game. Because I know they got to tell you the truth before they do it. And when you pick out what they're talking about, you can see where they are. And you check their objectives, the Iron Mountain Report, Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, the Communist Rules for Revolution, all these things. You put them together, those are the talking points of the Bilderberg Meeting, Club of Rome, Trial Commission, Council of Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of International Affairs, Gorbachev Foundation, whatever the cat and dogs they can throw in that round table. It's what they discuss. They send up the Illuminati for implementation. Then comes back down, do it. They'll set up the objectives. Here we go. And they'll test and see where what generation is ready to take the mark of the beast and begin their world government. That's what their boys are up to. and they're going to have a fake Armageddon, a fake everything, fake Jesus, everything fake, to bring in their little disclosure. Well, David Wilkerson talks about, in some of his speeches and so forth, his sermons, and if you read the Bible, in Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, oh, gosh, Nahum, quite a few, Book of Revelation, of course. The prophet Isaiah warns us that in the last days, God's going to turn the world upside down. He says in Isaiah 24:1, every word in that Bible is true. If it hadn't happened already, it's going to happen. Every single word. God didn't put anything in the idle way there. Not one scripture, not one verse. Everything there is going to happen just as God said it would. Isaiah 24:1. It says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattered abroad the inhabitants thereof. Now, family, that's yet to happen. This is after the flood. This ain't past tense. This is future tense. Hadn't happened yet. The world wars were localized. This is the whole world. Whatever tin-buck town you live in or city, don't matter. It's going to feel the effects. It won't be some evangelist out there on YouTube or otherwise saying, well, they had dead birds and dead fish and dead cows and whatever else, or some other nonsense that's set up. We're in the end times already. Nope, won't be that neither. It'll be worldwide. Judgment is coming upon the earth. It won't be localized. And Revelation 18:17. This actually mirrors even what the Illuminati says. Because they know it's going to happen. The Bible is rule. The King James Bible. It says specifically, for in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. And there's a city going to go bye-bye somewhere. It don't really say where. You can make conjecture here and there. But that's in Revelation 18:17. And it's a threat of a Great Depression hanging low, the gauge of maritime commerce. They see a distant city and they say, what could ever compare with this great city? Is it New York? Is it Rome? Damascus? Who knows? I bet you'll know when it happens. In 1 hour, everything's going to change. It'll change everything in a single hour, and within that short span, the whole world will witness a fast-falling destruction upon a city and a nation, and the world will never be the same again. They want you to believe that it's America going to go down. And that will be beginning the Great Tribulation, Armageddon, whatever they term it. And that's the end of it. But it's not. It's only the beginning. So the bottom line for us, if we're attached to material things, or if you love this world and the things in it, you won't want to hear what Isaiah has to say. A lot of people that just go to church every Sunday and have a ritual. Huh. They'll wonder, how can the entire world be stricken in just 1 hour? You know, if you didn't believe what the Bible is, God's pure word, and the King James is the only one that's complete, people today say, well, the really only true Bible is Greek. I said, Greek? What about the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Latin? And do you mean to tell me that 7 billion people have to learn Greek? And oh, by the way, where is this Greek manuscript? They can't provide it. And they will never be able to. But the scriptures are clear. Because in 1 hour, the world is going to change. The church is going to change. And every individual on earth is going to change. And even in their own writings, the Illuminati's own writings, when all the worlds have acknowledged that the worthlessness of all governments, then they're going to launch the World Revolutionary Plan in 1 day. They know it has to be in 1 day. It can't be over a long period of time to give people time to recoup. And even in John, in coordination with Isaiah, and they didn't know each other, by the way, he kind of gives a similar warning in Revelation of a destructive judgment coming upon a city and a nation. In Revelation 18, 8 and 17, therefore shall her plagues be in 1 day, death and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Has that happened yet? Nope, it sure ain't. Has not happened yet. In 8:17, goes back to, for 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. Every shipmaster and all the companies of ship, and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. Old Testament and New Testament. Something's coming. And the more we pull away from God, the sooner it's going to happen. You see how it works? And they know that. They're trying to poke God, as a way, my way of putting it, to make him act, they think. And actually, he's in control. All he's got to do is change the frequency of vibration of this earth and the universe, and they got to start all over again. He's in control. They're not. When the last person has accepted Jesus as his Savior, we're in it. When you go to Isaiah's prophecy, the city under judgment is cast into some confusion. They put in the confusion of some kind. Every house is shut up with no one coming or going. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up. No man may come in. If you go to Isaiah, back to Isaiah again. And you go to 24:10. It says, the city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. There is crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. You see, when I talk about death and no fear, that's setting the groundwork. People don't want to talk about this. They say, this is too much. I'm going to turn off. I go watch TV. I'm going to watch Survivor's on tonight. Yeah, let's go watch that. Let's feel good about it. Let's watch Dancing with the Stars, or let's watch America's Got Talent. All this is scripted out anyway. It's all scripted. Just like the State of the Union address. 24:12. The city has left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. The fire has come, a blast that's shaken the foundations of the earth. Where is it going to be? New York City? Washington, D.C.? Washington, D.C. is a cultic city owned by the money power since 1789. That's why they call it D.C. Or is it Rome? Or Damascus? Twin Towers were attacked. I explained that last week. Is a Masonic sacrifice. It wasn't Muslims. It wasn't really the government. It was the insiders working for secret societies that are members of the government, members of secret societies, members of military. It's all about a cult sacrifice was 9-1-1. I explained that last week. The Masonic cornerstone of 9-1-1 was built or dedicated, excuse me, the ceremony was dedicated 5 months after the public dedication. The Masonic dedication was September 11th, 1966. Coincidence. Really? Then the Pentagon was hit too, right? Well, the cornerstone was laid September 11th, 1941. September 11th is a very important year, a month and day. They think that a nuclear attack is inevitable. The target is often said to be New York or Washington or London or Paris, Tel Aviv, or who knows, Rome, maybe. Maybe Damascus, I don't know. But it's not mentioned in either John nor Isaiah which city falls. Maybe Baghdad. Babylon. But Babylon is the system. It's not to frighten you. It's to prepare you. David Wilkerson did this. I'm certainly not even close to him at all, but I think he needs to be brought up more often. If you're disciples of Jesus Christ, you've already passed from death to life. You call on Jesus as Lord. You got to be confident that no matter what happens in this world, his shed blood saves and redeems you. We're not to fear any newscast or warmongering or fearmongering, but rather be attentive to the events of the world to kind of decipher so we can explain to others. And they want to bombard you with all this rhetoric. So you have so much fear, you just turn off and run away. But hear his voice and be calm. Isaiah talks about the last days, present time. Sudden judgment will be coming. What are some of the indicators? Well, there's a growing number of prophets that warn of apocalyptic disaster at the door all the time. But you got church, you got secular, you got authors, you got all kinds of prophets out there. And there are several precedents being set for prophets in Scripture. God used Assyria, Germans, Italian, as his rod of correction with Israel. Israel was a bad boy and girls. So he used Assyria to correct them. Does Romans 13 come to mind? He appointed King Cyrus as his servant to assist Israel. The Lord saith to Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. Isaiah 44:28. God will put a leader, a country that doesn't even know his name to go against those that were supposed to be righteous and did not. All governments ordained by God, good or bad. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells you the formula. Revolution will never win. It's impossible. Never has, never will. Even if it was supposed to, going to, God wouldn't let it happen. Because all governments are ordained by God. Your Chuck Baldwins and all these, they're not on your side at all. Your Jerry Boykins, Chuck Baldwins, and all these guys, they ignore Romans 13. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Unquote. That's the formula right there. And boy, we ain't doing it. Not at all. So a military takeover of the U.S. government is against God. I don't care who calls for it. Don't matter. Rebellion is always against God. Always. It will never win. And yet now I go back to what I said about, 40 minutes ago. They're using patriotism as a weapon to keep us in slavery. God will even use secular prophets to send warnings. These become his prophets for a season, a short period of time. The secular prophets can be quite extensive, actually. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but reveal his secret to his servants, the prophets. You find this in Amos 3, verse 7. In Amos 3, 7. Where's old Amos at? That was hard to find. That was a hard one to find. Where's old Amos? Amos, where are you? Uh-oh. Yep, that boy hard to find. I don't cover Amos too often. Amos is pretty interesting. What did I say? Amos 3, 7. Yes. Amos 3, 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now remember this one. I'll tell you why. Very, very important. I'm going to go back to that one. You have Isaiah 11:16. Yep. Utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over, shall smite it, the seven streams, and make men go over, dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people. Now, Amos 3:7, what does that say? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto the servants of prophets. Now, who do you think wants to tap into that secret? Yes, Satan would. The Luciferians would want to tap into that secret. So how are they going to do that? By using a born-again Christian and have him to put a spell upon himself. John Todd talks about this. That you can't have a possession of a born-again Christian, but you can have the born-again Christian to put a spell upon themselves by being demonized, thereby allowing the demonic realm to find out what's going on, because they don't have wisdom, they do not have discernment, but they're looking for it. So they got to tap in to a born again Christian as a spy, supernaturally. Prophets will come out of apocalyptic disaster at the door, and then sudden destruction comes with. When the cup of violence is overflowed, they know, the witches know the day is coming for the helter-skelter. Sensuality, perversion, and greed are running rampant throughout our society more and more and more every day. Men will wax worse and worse. I did a Bible study last week, talks about that. A worldwide eruption of violence. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Genesis 6:11, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end times. Wars and rumors of wars, bloody uprisings taking place all around the globe. But what's worse of all is the violence against children that is greatly increasing. Sexual violence brings in possession at the highest level of secret societies. Don't think of pedophiles as some weirdo in the corner lot or in some bent down old house or whatever. No, you're talking government. You're talking military leaders. You're talking CEOs. You're talking kings and queens and whatever else as being pedophiles. Why? Because it opens up portals to the demonic realm by committing a domination. In the Pentagon, they have this little rooms going down this little, in the middle of the Pentagon thereabouts, there's a portal. You got rooms on either side going down this incline of some sort of hallway leading to these rooms. Yeah. Where they conduct the sexual violence against children. It's not about sex. It's about opening up a portal. The sex experience causes emotional release, obviously, which is the energy they need to open up the portals and be possessed. Children all over the world are being raped and kidnapped and forced into enslavement in the global sex trade. They discovered a website that advises other pedophiles and easiest places to pick up children. There's no law in place to stop this man. Not really. Especially when the government works with him. Bernanke or Sandusky, 10,000 of them in every college and university that are working for the CIA to recruit children. The world's largest church denomination spent hundreds of millions of dollars to settle claims of those who were molested in childhood by the clergy. How much longer do you think God's going to last out on this? The more latitude he gives Satan, the more likely we're getting closer and the less longer that Satan's going to be around in his secret societies. It's a double-edged sword for them. Africa is a wholesale. Tribal wars, people hacked to death by machetes, young boys. Even those under 10 years of age are enlisted in tribal militias and forced to murder men initiation rites. It's all about the occult. That's what it's all about in the bottom line. In the United States, the blood of millions of aborted babies cries out from the ground. You find where some women kill their newborn, you think they're just crazy. No, it's about witchcraft. So many children you sacrifice that are yours, you get closer to goddess. So this goes in line. I have a list. The list is massive. It's mind-boggling. For politicians that are in the Illuminati, for actresses, singers, dancers, those in the acting world, and those in Illuminati to advance up another step, someone in their family has to die. Remember, Obama's grandmother died. Family, people in these positions that signed their name in Lucifer in their blood, signed their name to Lucifer in their blood to advance further, someone that they love, someone they care about in their family has got to die. This is ritual. This is protocol. Abortions are strictly, specifically, for child sacrifice by design. That's why you have a lot in the medical field. They're into Wicca or Freemasonry at the highest level. Reports of school murders don't shock us like they used to. They continue to terrorize the children. That terror feeds the enemy. How about in the days of the 1950s? How about that, huh? Now, I was in between this in 19. I don't ever remember doing this. In the, when was I? 52, 3, 4, 5, 6, 57. That's right. So we're talking 1957, 58 for me. So before 57, 58, they were jumping under their desks and, okay, kids, we're going to have a little atomic bomb scenario. We all going to die. You're just going to jump under your desk and you'll be safe. You got to be kidding me, man. So they would practice that. Okay, we're going to have a little, you know, we'd have a fire drill. We love the fire drill because always cut into the classes. You know, oh, we got a fire drill. Oh, good. But I never had the nuclear bomb. You jumped under the desk and put your hands over your head and all that sort of thing. Sandy Hook was a hoax. Sandy Hook was a false flag to justify putting police in your schools by design. Now they're starting to arrest parents that come by to pick up their kids. They just pick a parent and say, we're going to arrest you for one reason or another to show their power. Then it gets put in the news feed and you hear about it. That's how the little game they play, like this Kent State shirt thing. So we all know about it. That's how it works. Brutalizing the children, heaven's going to cry out, woe, woe to you. Judgments have no cure. For in 1 hour, God is going to change the whole world. In 1 hour. Kind of like musical chairs for generations, isn't it? Which one's it going to be? Nobody knows, but God knows. Mankind don't. There's going to be a single cataclysmic event that's going to strike. And the first and final judgments of God. If you're with God, if you've taken Jesus as your Savior, man, they can spout off all the evil they want and all the fear. And you say, ho hum, my soul is saved by the Spirit of God. So what else you got to offer? Because you ain't scaring me none. It's what you can say. But if you're not, if you're afraid of death, then you're afraid of life. Because you go around afraid all the time. Because you are going to die eventually. You can't stop it. Whether you die to, you know, natural causes when you're 90 years old. I don't know, whatever. Or in a car accident. It's going to happen eventually. Are you prepared? That's the most important thing. When you're prepared, then what else are they going to cause fear in you with? For what? Then live your life. Live your life. Not in fear. Constantly thinking. See, every time they say, oh, we're in the end times now. Oh, we're all going to die. Blah, 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 blah. It's like the kids that's told, okay, we're going to practice a nuclear bomb attack. Everybody at the ring, we all whistle or whatever they did. I never went through that. Y'all jump on your desk and hide. Can you imagine how trauma some kids would be on that? Traumatized? I guess after a while they get used to it, you know, because nothing ever happened. But can you imagine? Baby boomers? Always in fear. You see what they've done? This is by design. Not accidental or whatever. This event is going to cause the earth to reel. Are you ready? Isaiah said that when it hits, there'll be no place to escape. The lofty, proud city layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. Isaiah 26:5. You'll have chaos. Order out of chaos. Civic activities will stop. You'll have massive disorder whenever this happens. Government agencies will be help us restore this kind of sanity. They'll bring the UN out. No state troopers, no National Guard, no army will be able to bring order to the upheaval. Once this kind of judgment actually happens, the economy will be devastated. I remember one day, I wasn't even thinking, the power went off, and I said, oh well. I went over to get some water out of my refrigerator to hit the little button, and the water comes out of the spout thing. It didn't work. I said, forgot about that. I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to get the car battery, I guess, if it ever happens for real, and how to jump start the water pump with the car battery. Oh, I better know how to do that. Or what, depend on God. Those that are rich merchants will stand by watching in torment, weeping and mourning. They'll face bankruptcy. In an instant, all the wealth they amass will be reduced to nothing. John describes the scene as in Revelation 18, 15 to 17. He goes in detail. In John, Revelation 18, 15 to 17. Family, this is not negative. This is telling you what's going to happen eventually. But when you're ready, there's no worry. There's no fear there. That's the point. 911 was a practice thing. It was a, actually 911 was Masonic sacrifice. And 911 with Y2K was supposed to be the New World Order by the year 2000. Wesley Clark was supposed to have started the trigger for World War III. It didn't happen like they had planned it. Look up the man who tried to start World War III, Wesley Clark. He was shortchanged, luckily, fortunately, by General Michael Jackson of the British. Pretty much disobeyed an order from a Wesley Clark, which he should have disobeyed the order. I call that a good general. Wesley Clark, he's a liar. He's an absolute liar. He's a member of the Illuminati. He's a Rhodes Scholar. End of story. He tried to start a trigger. I've explained that before. In June of 1999 to get World War III started. A fake World War III. But it didn't happen. Well, the World Trade Center, the following year, was going to bring in the fallen angels by the sacrifice of the two towers of Boaz and Jachin under a Masonic sacrifice. That was what World Trade Center is all about. They went along with it anyway to bring in the fallen angels and invoke them. But they didn't have their New World Order. Revelation 18:15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And alas, saying alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Whoo, that sounds like Rome. Sounds like Rome or Baghdad in the future. For in 1 hour so great riches have come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. So all buying and selling will cease that day. Every restaurant and bar will be shut down, all drinking, music making will end. And it sounds like 911, doesn't it? It's kind of a picture of doom and gloom. But it's not the prophecy. The word given by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to prophets today. Not to me, but to others. But those that's reported it, talked about it, that are prophets, delivered by his righteous prophet Isaiah. Even the secular world is preparing for it to happen. Are they not? Homeland Security, underground military bases. England, Europe, Israel, why? Military experts warn that a world-impacting event is sure to come. And boy, I tell you, ISIS sounds like the one, doesn't it? Why would the whole world change? in just one city, in one day, in 1 hour. Well, one will happen because of fear of retaliation. If you've got a rogue nation, which of course would be controlled by the Vatican, they would send down an attack, you can be sure that within hours, that nation would be wiped out. You already got Russia, buddying up to some of the Middle Easterners, targeting, looking at Israel. Consider the plan Israel has in place, known as the Samson option. The moment a nuclear warhead is launched against them, within moments, Israel would unleash nuclear missiles to devastate the capital cities of all enemy states. You see, if Putin was to launch some kind of attack against Israel because we're attacking Syria, you can bet that Putin, Netanyahu, Obama, the Vatican, listen, working together, they'd kill their own people in a heartbeat. They wouldn't hesitate. FDR was going to. I have a quote directly from him: to hell with American people. As far as democracy is concerned, it doesn't exist, it never did, and we'll see to it that it never happens that way. I'm going to infest America with all the aliens possible. That's part of a quote, March 4th, 1939. Churchill and J.P. Morgan are responsible for the murder of all those aboard May the 7th, 1915, of the Lusitania. Directly responsible, not by mistake, but by design. Churchill is a murderer, like J.P. Morgan. Both are murderers, like Truman. The Japanese were surrendering. They needed a sacrifice. Family, this is what's really going on. Churches will change. Because Isaiah talks about Isaiah 24:13. There shall be shaking as of an olive tree. That image of God shaking the olive tree has been picked of fruit. In short, he's going to shake everything that can be shaken, sparing nothing. It'll be a time of cataclysmic destruction, overwhelming darkness. If you have Jesus, your Savior, get ready. Because you're going to need you. God's going to need you to help others. So what about God's people in the midst of all this? In the midst of the terrible shaking, a song will be heard. The sound will grow steadily stronger. The darkest of hours, a worldwide chorus of voices will sing praises to the majesty of God. Lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry out aloud from the sea. Isaiah 24:14. Panic will be everywhere. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel. Isaiah 24:15-16. Now a holy remnant will be awakened, and a song will be born in the fire. So instead of panicking, the people of God will be praising his awesome majesty, getting closer to that time. That's what you got to do. In the darkest hour of all time, a collective voice will rise by the millions out of every nation, not in fear or agony, but in joyful praise to the Lord. He will restore his church. That's what you pray for. Dry bones will shake and rattle. The righteous will be awakened. Because there'll be a need then. The time is coming. Not yet. The time is not yet. But you can see the signs of the times. We're close. As one of the chat members very well says, that the only, I quote the chat member, the only thing that really has prevented the satanic New World Order far, thus far, is the believers in this country, but they are diminishing quickly. And you know what they've done from that? They started with the baby boomers generation. And every generation, they've labeled the generation. Each one, Tavistock has chipped away the righteous, chipped away rituals, chipped away all that we thought we knew is changing each generation. You have generation X, Y, Z, and they test each generation to see if their work has been completed. It's very clever how the social scientists do this to find out which generation will accept. Even Billy Graham now is supporting the New World Order. He denies Jesus, his own words. Quote, you don't have to know the name of Jesus, unquote. He says, you know you need Christ. Well, Christ is a generic name of a Messiah. But it has to be Jesus, nobody else. Well, Billy Graham denies that. Would it happen to be that he's funded by the Rockefellers since 1949 have something to do with it? God is going to regenerate and restore his real church. Dry bones are going to shake, rattle, and rock. And then the righteous will be awakened. And the Holy Spirit calls multitudes of the lukewarm believers back to their first love. Rouse those who neglected him, ignoring his word, avoiding prayer, even contemplating divorce. Suddenly their souls will be flooded with pangs of remorse, and godly sorrow through the Holy Spirit will convict their souls. Many will fall on their knees crying out repentance. Kind of like what they did in 9-1-1 a few months after. When the churches filled? I wasn't here. I was in Kosovo. But I heard here the churches were filled. Yeah. Then they kind of diminished after about 3-4 months after that. I'm sure the so-called pseudo-evangelists were having a heyday back in 9-1-1. But we're looking for that revival of glorifying God's majesty. That's what we're looking for. It'll happen worldwide. All parts of the world. God will make all things new. Now this week of Bible study, we're talking about the millennium and other things as well. But people aren't talking about the good things. You got to talk about the bad things, but also talk about the good things. Because a righteous God will have a righteous ending, which is really a beginning. People are going to feast on his word. And don't forget the Feast of the Tabernacles is yet to happen. And Davidic covenant is yet to happen. Hadn't happened yet. Still lingering there. So listen, we're not done yet. You remember when Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again, they found the napkin that was on his face, not the wrap. He wasn't totally wrapped up, by the way. How about that? So the shroud is a fraud because Jesus' body wasn't totally wrapped up like a mummy. He had the napkin folded over. When they came to his grave, the napkin was folded. Did you know back in those days, you had a master with servants. And when the master was done with his food, he would just throw his napkin down. But when he's coming back, he had to leave and come back to his food, he would neatly fold it to let him know that I'm coming back. In the tomb, Jesus' tomb, they found the napkin nicely folded. He's coming back. They think they're going to stop it. I got news. It's not going to happen. They're not going to stop anything. Feast of the Tabernacles, 1,000 years. is yet to happen. And then will be the completion, fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. A descendant of King David will have the throne forever and ever. But in the meantime, he will destroy in the mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that spread over all nations. You know, in this time of prosperity, which is questionable, there'll be another prosperity of great importance. But right now, it seems the world is covered with a veil of unable to see the truth about Jesus Christ. Even the true word of God, the people are fooled into it. It's amazing. And it will also be the end of the time of the Gentiles. You see, that's real important. The Gentiles brought the King James Bible because the Jews failed. But when they have the fulfillment of the Gentiles, the real Hebrew Jews will come out. Jesus Christ will take control of the Jerusalem for 1,000 years. We'll go back to one language, one leader, and that will be Jesus. That's what people aren't talking about. You've got the darkest shroud coverings today of the eyes of hearts of youth worldwide and the ways that we've been talking about in our broadcast, that how they've got our college-age students all fooled and hidden and tied up, and faith has been bombarded for up to years and years, and minds have been indoctrinated by godless professors in every college university based on, as evidence shows, humanism. Every college university, every public school, as evidence confirms, are schools of humanism. That's the fox in the hen house. By design, they leave college convinced that God's dead. All these hypocritical veils are going to fall away, and boy, will they be humming the blues. These same professors are marked and will realize they'll face the possibility of death, then what? Because the Holy Spirit will convict them. It tends to happen at the moment of death, anyway. In 1 hour, God's going to change us as individuals. Many are going to harden their heart and they'll curse God at the sound of this song that you are going to hear. But there'll be multitudes of others that's going to join in. In a single hour, the focus of our lives will be changed. What generation? We don't know. So quit worrying about the fear and live your life. But you don't have time to kirk your wick and fill your lamp with oil if you're just watching the skies and still sinning. You're going to be caught behind. You better think about that. So suddenly, so many things we hold dear will no longer be of any value to us. In that hour, everyone will be the same boat. It shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, and so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. Isaiah 24, verse 2. They'll all be the same. Whether it's a pope or priest or rabbi or ribbi or whatever they call themselves, or bishop or lickety-split, whatever, Elmer Fudd, it don't matter. He'll stop chasing Bugs Bunny or whatever he's chasing before. Sudden judgment comes, will not be respecter of anyone. Rather, will be to touch all who are in the realm of his fury. Presidents, kings, world richest and most famous, it won't matter. They'll just tremble like the poorest on earth. Those that go in these underground trains, pew, right there, are going to their death. They will not be protected to dip underground military bases. Let the rocks fall upon them, because they will. It bring to naught every idol, purging iniquity and tearing down of all false altars will go down. There'll be no technology. People can't imagine what's getting ready to happen. And it won't be by harp, because harp won't be around then. What's the main idol today? Sex? Money? America is facing a monstrous financial disaster. Ooh. Don't you get irritated when you go up to your ATM and it's not working? Imagine it not working ever at all. Get ready. Why do you think they have these survivor programs on? You think it's just for the heck of it? When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Jesus is warning Jerusalem. I've told you before, he says, it come to pass that when it has come to pass, you might believe. He is John 14:29. When it happens, in other words, you will know it is a God who loves you and forewarns you ahead of time. It's not a message of wrath to God's people, but a wake-up call to start preparing. That's what it's all about. Not fear. It's about get ready. Get ready. Because God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. Comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as he also ye do. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Nobody wants to hear this, but family, it's coming. And it looks like it's close from where they're trying to push this fake Armageddon and fake World War III and so forth. You can't blame God. It's our own. So start now to build your holy faith in him now. Renounce the blood oath if you're a Freemason. If you have friends that are Freemasons, talk to them. Some of them are not going to believe you, but at least you drop a sword, drop a little bit of a seed that they'll remember later. They may be the ones to say, oh, remember what he told me? I remember it now. Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day will come upon you unawares. Y'all get ready. And we're coming toward the end of the program here. And I appreciate y'all dropping by. This is brought to you by Revelation Radio Network. And we're here every Monday from 9 to 11. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, watchforjesus.com is my regular broadcast. Tomorrow night, 8 to 9, we'll talk about end times, millennium, other issues, 8 to 9. Tomorrow night, Bible study, Tuesday through Friday. And, of course, Tuesday to Friday is my 4 to 6 broadcast. WatchmanForJesus.com. And then Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Y'all come join us. And also, talk stream live when you come in to my broadcast 4 to 6. You click on my face there. It takes you to my website. You also have some instructions I put up that someone gave me that it's a little complicated, actually. And you click on the little bar to my right of my face on the talk stream live. And so that puts up some kind of a video, of audio player of some kind. So you have two things to click, my face and that green bar. But in any case, on talkstreamlive.com. Or you can access it from my website, either one or both. Well, family, all I can tell you is, oh, that was quick. See y'all later. We got to go.